Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And we're so glad for all of you that come on there and send me emails, PastorJD at voiceofvision.org. If you have a question you want to ask or want to find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship, you can find out about it right there at the website. There's a button for that, service times and the missionaries we support and all of that. And there's a topical index, search page, and there's a button there called Sermons. You can hear those, and also Vision Radio, and catch any of these programs that you miss, and our daily blog, which has the text of today's program right there on the front page, or has archives there as well. And again, you can email me, PastorJD at voiceofvision.org, and we have people do that, and people visit the church from that, and it's really nice, and we thank you for that, and we hope that you're enjoying these programs and praying for us, and we don't know every one of you by name or by face, but we pray for you. We pray for the body of Christ. We should pray for one another. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." And that's the text we want to get into today. Really not that verse as much as 1 Corinthians 6. We're calling today's teaching, "Do you not know?" You don't know. Don't you say you don't know? Paul had spent 18 months teaching the Corinthians personally, and there were various correspondences between him and the Corinthian church, and others such as Titus and Apollos had come and taught them as well. Yet they still acted as if they're ignorant of how to live out the implications of the gospel. Most of you know, it was real tough. You know, the Corinthian church is a lot like today's church. They had a lot of gifts, a lot of talent, a lot of blessing, and yet they had a lot of spiritual pride. And in this chapter, Paul takes them to task by asking, reproving, in other words, exposing questions, which, you know, he's trying to correct them. And he pointed out their failure to obey God's will. He boldly confronts them with, "Do you not know?" 6 times in this chapter. And so I wanted to sort of outline that. And he says, you know, "Don't you know these things? Don't you realize if this is true, then this will be the implication that follows?" And we're going to talk about that just a little bit here. And again, he does it 6 times. In verse 2, he says this, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" The verse 1 is talking about, and I'll just read it, "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Saints will rule the world in wisdom." Do you know that? Saints are going to rule the world. You know that Jesus is coming back and he's going to set up a kingdom on earth. And, you know, whether you believe in a millennial kingdom or in the eternal state, if you read your Bible, all, you know, premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, they all agree that there's going to be a future on earth with glorified bodies and a new heavens and a new earth and wherein dwells righteousness, and the saints are going to rule the world. They're going to reign with Christ. We can find that in many places, even in the Old Testament. We see it alluded to in Daniel 7:22. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 19:28, and in Revelation 2:26 and 27, 3:21 and 20, verse 4. Let's read a couple of those. Let's try Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. And he says this. This is Jesus. "Only hold the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself received authority from my Father." The one who conquers and who keeps my works to the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And Revelation chapter 20, here we are near the end here, and verse 4, it says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years." Do you not know that saints are going to rule the world in wisdom? And again, he's relating that to taking other believers to the court system before having, you know, the church system judge these things. He's basically saying, if you can handle the big things, you can handle the small. He's saying, you're going to rule the world. You can't handle a dispute among the believers. You have to take each other to court in front of unbelievers. He said, don't you know, saints are going to rule the world in wisdom. You have some of that in you now. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God, and you have each other, the elders of the church, and the promises of God. If you can handle the big things, and you will, you can handle the small. They don't recognize who they are as a body of believers, and that's another reason why you need to go to church, friends, and be a member of a church. You submit yourself to one another in the fear of God. They don't recognize who they are as a body of believers. Don't you know? Look at verse 3. He continues on now. He says, don't you know? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more, then, matters pertaining to this life? Again, he's still going on this whole idea of them taking each other to court over the smallest little things before they even try it in the church. They submit to themselves to the secular authority before the sacred authority, before the Word of God, before other saints, before the Holy Spirit, amongst each other. And again, verse 3, saints will have authority in the heavenly realm. We're going to judge angels, good and bad. 2 Peter 2:4, Jude 6, they're set away for the time of judging and ruling over good angels, judging bad angels and ruling, having governing authority over good angels. And so Paul's saying, if you can handle the heavenly, you can handle the earthly. If you can handle the heavenly, you can handle the earthly. You're going to be judging these things based on the same standards. You'll be perfected, that's true, but you'll still have the Word of God and each other and all of that. If you can handle the heavenly, you can handle the earthly. Again, saints will rule the world in wisdom. They don't recognize who they were as a body of believers, and they don't respect the authority of the local church, and I can just go on and on about that. Saints will have authority in the heavenly realm. They're not realizing that. They don't respect the authority of the local church. You have this power. The church has been invested with the keys to the kingdom. And to take that power outside of the church and give it to the local magistrates before you even try it in the church because you're not a member or you just won't do it, you don't trust it, you're guilty of stealing the keys. Do you understand that? It's a serious thing. He's saying, you guys are doing wrong here. You don't realize you're going to rule the world and you're going to judge angels? You're going to have all this authority and you don't understand that? You don't recognize who you are as a body of believers? You don't respect the authority of the local church to settle disputes? We ought to. This is a big problem in the Christendom, you might say, today. Shouldn't be a problem in the real true church. So there he is twice. Don't you know? Verse 2. Don't you know? Verse 3. Now let's skip over to verse 9. And verse 9, he says, don't you know, there he is again, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. And he goes on and on there. Well, let's read it. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. They'd broken free of a lot of these addictions. They weren't supposed to go back to them. What's he saying? Don't you know, again, verse 2, saints are going to rule the world in wisdom? Don't you know, verse 3, saints will have authority in the heavenly realm? Don't you know, verse 9, saints are not supposed to act like sinners? Doesn't mean we never sin. Doesn't mean we're sinless. It means we sin less and we don't have to do the same old sins. He goes, don't you know the people that commit these things and live in these things, not fall into them and then come back out, but people that live in them, that never repented? Don't you know they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? And he mentions all time, not just homosexuality. All right? He mentions all kinds, sins of the mind, sins of the heart, sins against men, sins against God. They're all sins against God, of course. And saints are not supposed to act like sinners. If they are not going to heaven, you have no right to act like hell. Don't you know saints are not supposed to act like sinners? If they are not going to heaven, you have no right to act like hell. Again, verse 2, they didn't recognize who they were as a body of believers. Verse 3, they didn't respect the authority of the local church. Verse 9, they don't act like born-again saints. They're not acting right. They don't act like it. They're not in their position. But there's more. Verse 15. Verse 15 says this. Do you not know? There it is again. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of a Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Never. They're bonding with sin. Saints should not, don't you know, saints should not bond with sin. They should not be bonded with sin. If you're one with Jesus, you shouldn't be taken up with Judas. You know what I'm saying? If you're one with Jesus, you shouldn't be taken up with Judas. They don't understand the weight of sin. They were treating it cavalierly. They were making grace a license to sin. And we're not supposed to do that. 1 Peter 2:16 says we're supposed to be slaves to God, not using our grace as a cover for sin in that sense. Should we sin more that grace may abound more? God forbid, Paul says in Romans. Saints should not be bonded with sin. If you're one with Jesus, you shouldn't be taken up with Judas. Now let's look at verse 16. This is heavy, isn't it? There's a lot. Don't you know saints are going to rule the world in wisdom? Don't you know saints will have authority in the heavenly realm? Don't you know saints aren't supposed to act like sinners? Don't you know saints are not supposed to be bonded with sin? And don't you know, verse 16. Whew. Or do you not know that he that is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two shall become one flesh. If you're bonded, you've been bound. If you're joined with Jesus, you shouldn't be joined to Jezebel. They don't value the gift they've been given. They didn't recognize who they were as a body of believers. They didn't respect the authority of the local church. They don't act like born-again saints. They don't understand the weight of sin. They don't value the gift they've been given. Again, if you're joined with Jesus, you shouldn't be joined to Jezebel. They don't value the gift they've been given. And there's another one, verse 19. Don't you know? Do you not know? There he is, the sixth time. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Again, you know, saints are not supposed to be bound with sin, verse 15. If you're bonded, then you've been bound, verse 16. And the Holy Spirit is bonded with you. Verse 19, the Holy Spirit is bonded with you. If God paid the price for admission, don't give away his seat to someone else. Don't you know that you're one with Jesus? Don't you know that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. The Holy Spirit is bonded with you. Again, if God paid the price for admission, don't give his seat away to somebody else. They don't accept the responsibility they have. Wow. Let's go through all those again. Verse 2, saints will rule the world in wisdom, but they don't recognize who they are as a body of believers. Verse 3, saints will have authority in the heavenly realm, but they didn't respect the authority of the local church. Verse 9, saints aren't supposed to act like sinners, but they didn't act like born-again saints. Verse 15, saints should not be bonded with sin, but they didn't understand the weight of sin. Verse 16, if you're bonded, you've been bound. They didn't value the gift they've been given. And verse 19, the Holy Spirit is bonded with you. They didn't accept the responsibility they had. Friends, we need to be less concerned about our comfort and more concerned about our convictions. We need to be less concerned about our rights and more concerned about our testimony. Don't you know that, friends? I hope you do. You can email me, Pastor JD at voiceofvision.org. But that's all the time we have for today. We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor JD Hatfield. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.